31. Shouldest thou sustain any grievous injury or meet with some keenly felt disappointment, instead of being indignant against him who hath offended thee, lift up thine eyes to heaven and fix them upon the Lord, who, in his infinite and loving providence, hath so ordained it, either for the expiation of thy sins, or to destroy in thee the spirit of pride, reducing thee to practice acts of patience and humility. 32. When thou meetest with an opportunity of rendering thy neighbor some lowly and menial service, do so with joy, and with that humility which thou wouldest have wert thou the servant of all. By this practice thou wilt lay up in store for thyself treasures of virtue and grace. 33. Busy not thyself in the least about things which do not in any way concern thee, and of which thou art not called upon to give an account either to God or to man, for meddling comes of secret pride and from vain presumption. It nourishes and increases vanity, and begets an infinite host of troubles, worries, and distractions, whereas by attending to one's self alone and to one's own duties, a man will find a fountain of peace and tranquility, according to that beautiful saying of the Imitation of Christ. Neither busy thyself with the things not committed to thy care, and thus may it be brought about that thou shalt be little or seldom disturbed. Book 3, Chapter 25. 34. When thou performest some extraordinary mortification, take good care to keep free from the venom of vainglory, which oftentimes mars the whole merit. Take care, I say, to perform it for this sole reason, that it is not becoming in thee, since thou art so great a sinner, to live at thine own ease and pleasure. And because thou hast so many defects and debts to make satisfaction for in the sight of the divine justice. Reflect as the bit and bridle are necessary to master a mettlesome horse, so works of penance are necessary for thee in order to check the violence of thy passions and keep thee within the bounds of duty. 35. Every time thou art inclined to be impatient or downcast in thy tribulations and humiliations, courageously fight against such a temptation, being mindful of thy sins, for which thou hast deserved far severer chastisements than those from which thou art actually suffering. Adore the infinite justice of God, and with reverence receive its blows, which thou shouldest regard as so many fountains of mercy and of grace. Oh, if thou couldest but understand how salutary it is to be smitten in this miserable life by the hand of so sweet a Father as God is, thou wouldest then, without doubt, abandon thyself wholly and entirely into his hands. Frequently cry out with St. Augustine, quote, "Here in this life, O Lord, burn within me, and cut whatsoever thou pleasest. Here spare me not, provided thou dost spare and pardon me in eternity." End quote. To refuse tribulations is to rebel against the justice of God, which is so salutary. It is also to reject the chalice which he offers us in his mercy, and which Jesus Christ himself, although innocent, desired to be the first to drink. 36. If by any chance thou hast committed some fault which has caused thee to be despised by the person who witnessed it, conceive a lively sorrow for thy offense against God, and for the bad example given to thy neighbor. But, with regard to the contempt itself, and the dishonor incurred, accept them as a means which God has chosen for the expiation of thy fault, and to render thee more humble and more virtuous. If, on the contrary, the seeing thyself deprecated and dishonored mortifies and pains thee, believe me, thou dost not possess true humility, and art still infected with pride. In this case, all the more earnestly implore the Lord to heal and save thee. For if God be not moved to pity towards thee, thou shalt certainly fall into other abysses. 37. If amongst thy companions there be one who seems to thee contemptible and of no account, thou wilt act wisely and prudently in setting about to consider the good qualities of nature and of grace with which God has endowed him, and on account of which he may appear worthy of respect and honor, rather than in noticing his faults and censuring them. At least, always behold in him one created by God, formed after the divine image and likeness, and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a Christian illuminated by the light of God's countenance, a soul capable of seeing and possessing God for all eternity, and perhaps one even predestined in the secret counsels of his adorable providence. And dost thou then know the graces which the Lord hath already poured out upon his heart, or is about to pour out upon it? But without troubling thyself about such questions, it would perhaps be better to drive away immediately all those of contempt as the poisoned breath of the tempter. 38. When thou art praised, instead of rejoicing thereat, fear, lest such praise be the sole reward of that little good which thou hast done. In thy heart acknowledge thine own miseries by which thou meritest the contempt of others, and endeavor to cut short that discourse, not indeed with a view of securing still greater praise, like the proud, who make a parade of humility, but with a holy adroitness, so that attention may be wholly drawn away from thee. But if in this thou dost not succeed, instantly refer to God alone all the honor and all the glory, saying with Barak and Daniel, "To the Lord our God belongeth justice, but to us confusion of our face." 39. As thine own praises should give thee disgust, so in the same degree ought the praises conferred upon others to cause thee delight. And do thou also contribute thy meat of praise so far as sincerity and truth will permit. The envious cannot endure the glory bestowed upon their neighbor, because they regard it as so much taken from their own. For this very reason, they adroitly let fall in their conversations certain half-finished thoughts and ambiguous phrases, either to lessen or cast doubt upon the praises which they hear conferred upon others. Not that thou shouldest thou act, but in praising thy neighbors, praise and thank the Lord for the gifts he has bestowed upon him, and for the services which he receives at his hands. 40. When thy neighbor is defamed in thy hearing, conceive a sincere sorrow for it. Seek in thy mind for some motive whereby to excuse the weakness of the detractor. Do not fail, however, to defend the honor and good name of the poor person who is the object of attack, doing so with such skill and tact that the defense should not turn out to be in reality a second accusation. Thus, for example, at times try and touch upon his praiseworthy qualities, or put in a clear light how highly he is esteemed by others as well as by thyself. At times endeavor to change in a skillful way the subject of conversation, or let it be in some way understood how distasteful it is to thee. By acting thus, thou wilt confer the utmost benefit upon thyself, the detractor, the bystanders, and the person maligned. But if without making the slightest effort to repress thy feelings, thou dost feel pleased when thy neighbor is depreciated, and when he is extolled displeased, oh then, how much still remains for thee to do before possessing the incomparable treasure of humility?